going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now the Score's draft coverage continues with Rami Makhlouf and Score football expert Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Welcome in. Rami Makhlouf, Anthony Herron taking you right up to Cubs baseball and the last leg, so to speak, on the Score's draft coverage this weekend. Another trade. Yes, with the Bills. No, this isn't a rerun from last night's show. This is another trade with the Buffalo Bills today. We'll get into the details of all that here in just a second. Let you know where the Bears are picking. We'll discuss the last 3 days of the draft and what the Bears have done. We'll, of course, check in with Chris Emma and hear from some of the other figures involved down there at Halas Hall between now and 2:30 when we give you Cubs pregame right here on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Ant, how the hell are you this Saturday afternoon, my man?
Rami, I'm fantastic, man. Just got done watching all the tiny people running around on the soccer field a little bit earlier, what we think of internationally as football. And now we are back into American football mode, waiting, wondering, watching all these transactions that are happening to see who are going to be the next star in the National Football League, especially for the Bears.
Yeah, and we find ourselves waiting for the Bears pick, which we thought we'd know by now, and we thought we'd be coming on here and talking about whoever it is that they took in the fourth round, but they apparently have a direct line to the Buffalo Bills. They just swapped entire drafts other than the first round, I think they just swapped their whole drafts. The details of the deal between the Bears and the Bills today: the Bears move out of their fourth round pick at 132. At 109, they give that up to the Bills. In exchange, they get 132 in round four, as well as round five, pick 169. And what are your thoughts on this move that the Bears made today?
Well, it seems that basically what it comes down to is the Bears have certain areas of the draft that they feel like the talent really suits them. And so when you think back to yesterday acquiring three different second round picks, when they went into it with multiple second round picks already, we're going to have a round three pick available. It gave that up to move up a bit earlier, get into round two, secure an additional defensive tackle. And that was a spot where before you were on last night, Grody and I were talking through it a bit in the evening and just trying to figure out when are they going to start to address the line of scrimmage in general. Left tackle, we saw them get Isaac Chipillo there and then utilize the additional pick that they acquired to get Shamar Turner. And so now you at least have both lines of scrimmage that have been bolstered by the draft and the fourth round pick. They at least do stay in round number four, just move later in the fourth round than where they previously were, acquire an additional fifth round pick. And so now in this area of the draft, you know, you're essentially in lotto ticket kind of mode here. It's a bit more unpredictable with how these prospects will turn out, whether or not they're really going to have an opportunity to be immediate contributors. I certainly am not one to count that out. Braxton Jones, the most recent example of that for the Bears. But now they do still find themselves 4 years into Braxton Jones's career trying to figure out how do we go about solidifying left tackle, because there's the potential to upgrade there, but he has become a quality starter. There are stories all throughout the National Football League. There will be undrafted free agents, as we've seen in Chicago recently, Jack Sanborn. It's going to be guys who don't get picked by a team tonight that can try to make a career for themselves in the NFL. But you're hoping when you expend draft capital that you're going to get someone of quality. And it does feel like Ryan Poles has certain areas of this draft, certain rounds, depending on how the board has fallen, that he feels like will give his team an opportunity to get the type of talent that they really feel strongly about.
We'd like to hear from you. Rami Makhlouf, Ant Heron with you on the Scores Draft coverage here on a Saturday afternoon. 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the show, shoot us a text or give us a call. 312-644-6767. Let us know how you feel about what the Bears have done in the draft up till now on here on day three and in the middle of round four. Looks like the Buccaneers pick is in. We'll try and keep you updated on the draft as it moves along here. And I love the move yesterday to get that extra second round pick, because I thought you were moving up a little bit. You gave up your fourth round pick, you gave up your third round pick, moved down into the fourth. But having three picks in the second round, I felt like you were really, you just used the word contributors. I feel like you were, the Bears are really putting themselves in a position to get three guys who can come in and possibly contribute on day one. You don't know if Trapillo, the left tackle they took out of Boston College, will necessarily be a starter on day one. But I think Luther Burden is going to be heavily involved with the offense as the third wide receiver, mostly in the slot. But he did it all at Missouri. He played inside, outside, and all over the field. And I really liked Shamar Turner. I want to play some of his comments from his press conference introducing himself to the media and the city of Chicago yesterday. I think Bears fans are really, really going to like this guy. And you'll hear why a little later on in the show. So I liked what they did yesterday in getting three guys who possibly could contribute, at least two who I think are going to play close to starter-like snaps or be heavily involved in the rotation at their positions. I don't love the trade today to move down in the fourth round, because I was really hoping that they would address the running back position. And the further down, I know it's a deep running back class, but the further down we go, the more I'm starting to wonder what kind of quality you're going to get at the running back position at this point. Especially when you move all the way down to 132. I'm just not big on DeAndre Swift. And just looking at what's gone off the board since the Bears traded that 109 pick, three running backs already off the board. It's kind of the run on running backs is kind of starting here. Etienne out of Georgia, Simon from Ohio State. They go to Carolina and Arizona. And then you had Woody Marks from USC going to Houston, and Jaquez Hunter from Auburn going to the Rams. One guy I had sort of my eyes on last night as we were looking ahead to this round of the draft was Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. And he is still on the board. He is still sitting there with, let me do some quick math on the radio, about 10 picks before the Bears pick. So maybe he still slips to them, but I'd really like to see them address that running back position. And I feel like they've done a good job of addressing some needs on this roster to this point. I know how much Ben Johnson wants to run the football, and I don't feel great about DeAndre Swift being sort of the main guy in trying to achieve that goal.
And I wouldn't assume yet, frankly, even getting through today. And I would imagine with one of these four final picks, so at the moment it's four picks. We'll see if they continue to wheel and deal here, Rami. But I would imagine with one of the four picks that remains, we'll see them address running back. But just through the lens of what's on the roster at the moment here, I feel you about DeAndre Swift. The context I would add, though, is that the Bears got a better sense, a better understanding for who DeAndre Swift was as they went through the season last year. So if DeAndre Swift would be comped with backs who are almost the sole ball carrier for their offense, and the vast majority of the running back touches have to operate through them, you know, call it 20 touches a game from the running back, then no, DeAndre Swift is not an excellent option for that. But as far as pairing DeAndre Swift with an additional running back, that to me was what made perfect sense the entire time. I thought DeAndre Swift was just miscast by the Bears early last year. As the season wore on, they got a better sense for how to utilize him. He's not a great short yardage back. Never has been. He wasn't in college. He wasn't in Detroit when Ben Johnson was there with him. He has been a source of frustration for coaches throughout his career at times because of that. Now, I immediately said that when the Bears acquired DeAndre Swift, that you got to know what you're getting into. But that type of electricity in the open field, you know, there's a certain echelon of guy who can do what DeAndre Swift can do in space with the ball in his hand. So I love him being on the Bears roster. I just think whether it is in the draft or if you're going to pair him with some other veteran, because there are constantly running backs that are available, you just need to pair him with someone else who can provide some additional power, some additional urgency to the way they run. So I like DeAndre Swift as a football player. You just got to know how to use him and really know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to make it sound like I'm completely out on DeAndre Swift. He's done some things in this league, man, and I know that he's still got some good football in him. And I was hoping for, you know, somebody to come in and be a feature back. If you could have moved up, I was all for the idea of moving up into the first round to go and get an Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, excited about Jeanty, right?
I was really excited about Jeanty. I was one of the few people who, even before they addressed the offensive line, I was like, you know, maybe I have to look at this Jeanty guy at number 10. And people were looking at me like I was kind of crazy. Like, what? No, you have to address the offensive line. And I was like, I know. I really like this Jeanty guy. And I think this
Ashton
team.
Jeanty.
Yeah,
right.
I'm a big Jeanty. But if they weren't going to do that, I did want them to, like you said, get somebody who can come in and share the load, share the carries with DeAndre Swift. I don't need him to necessarily be benched or cut from this football team. I'm not that sour on DeAndre Swift. But at this point in the draft, I'm just looking for a guy who can come in and sort of share that load with him. You think that's still something that's on the board with 132 and beyond, Ant?
I think it can be. You know, we can learn a lot by even looking at the Bears' current roster, their recent draft picks at the position, and just think through, because there's been a lot of excitement over the short career so far of Roschon Johnson. And, you know, just thinking about when, you know, DeAndre Swift was struggling early last season, wasn't gaining a lot of yards. And we saw Roschon Johnson, who was a fourth round pick, who went on this day of the draft 2 years ago. And hey, he was a backup at Texas. There's a bunch of tread left on his tires because he wasn't the main ball carrier there. And man, think about the size and the physicality that he runs with. And all that is really accurate. But there are limitations to a lot of the prospects when you get here. Can guys emerge? Yes. And that's really what's devalued running back as much as anything. Yes, NFL offenses have gone to passing with more volume. Now, as we've seen quarterbacks struggle a bit, as we've seen the top play callers in the sport go back to taking some things off the plate of the QB and recognizing that a quality rushing attack can extend careers like it did for Aaron Rodgers as he was in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur comes in and says, nope, we're going to run the rock. Aaron says, no, you're not. Matt LaFleur says, yes, we are. And then Aaron goes and wins a couple of more MVPs because they started to lean into that ground attack. And all these different top play callers in the sport, not named Andy Reid, they're valuing the run game and getting excellence from the quarterback position because of it. Andy Reid's really the main guy who doesn't have to lean into the run to showcase his skills, his genius as a play caller, and still be productive with it. So from the Bears' perspective, I think overall you have the chance to get quality at this position because there are so many players who can play running back at a high level, who can make plays with the ball in their hand, but the returns do diminish a bit as you get deeper and deeper into the draft like you're talking about here. But I think the reason running back began to get devalued for a while, partly because teams just fell in love with the passing attack, but part of it as well is just there's a lot of guys who can do it at a high level. Undrafted free agents come into this thing and find a way to gain major yards in football. So, yes, at this point in the draft, day three, there's quality here. You can get it, but then it comes into how are you evaluating that guy? Because as excited as folks got about Roschon Johnson, the more he got the ball, you did see some of the limitations he has as a true playmaker, and that's where if you're looking for someone to truly be a key cog in your rushing attack and do more than just kind of get 2 or 3 yards and fall on the ground, then you know you may need either Roschon Johnson to continue to develop far beyond where he is, or you hope that one of these guys you may pick up here on this third day of the draft can really showcase those kind of skills.
Yeah, I know. It seems like we're trying to recreate what Ben Johnson did in Detroit, and with Loveland in the first round, and then going and getting the slot receiver in Burden in the second round. And I want to see the same thing that they kind of had in Detroit there with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, of two guys who both are consistently productive. Very different in the style that they run with the football, but two guys who can consistently be productive. I don't think that Roschon Johnson, he fits that bill in terms of the consistency that you're looking for from a second running back or a 1A, 1B type of situation. Do you think
he hasn't yet, Rami? Like, I don't because I during the season the Roschon Johnson excitement began to hit this fever pitch when folks started getting frustrated with DeAndre Swift, and I kind of became a bit of a dissenting voice on that on the station because I try to get people to pump the brakes when they're going too far in either direction. Like the why isn't Cole Kmet getting 10 targets a game crowd? Well, Cole Kmet has limitations as a pass receiver. Why isn't Roschon Johnson getting a bunch of carries? They're not running the ball well. Well, how far is Roschon Johnson going when he gets the football? Like, yes, he's very exciting and he runs with this physicality and there's an intimidation aspect to it. But the more he gets the football, every run looks exactly the same from Roschon Johnson. So he's 2 years into his career. I'm not out. I'm not putting a ceiling on him yet. But what we've seen so far, and especially with a new regime coming in here, either Roschon will need to continue to improve or the Bears will need to be in a position to go and acquire someone else who can pair properly with DeAndre Swift to really give them a high-level backfield. So I'm not saying I'm out on Roschon, but I'm trying to live in reality on what he is at this point in his career.
They often say that the most popular guy on a losing team is the backup quarterback because everybody blames the starting quarterback and wants him benched. I think Bears fans are so running back crazy because of the history of running backs that they've had, obviously starting with Walter Payton, that we're almost just as rabid for the backup running back. When you go right. And spend the money on a DeAndre Swift and he doesn't produce for four games, we're all like, get Roschon. Sean Johnson in there. Yeah, this guy can do some things. It sounds like you are sold on the idea of the running back being back in the NFL in terms of their value to teams. I know a lot of people think that what happened last year, not just with Saquon Barkley, but you look at Derrick Henry going to Baltimore and producing the way that he did. Josh Jacobs going to Green Bay and producing the way that he did. Some people think that was an anomaly and running backs still don't have a lot of value in this league. It sounds like you're sold on the idea of the running back sort of being back in the picture and being maybe not quite a premium position, but on the border of a premium position.
A position of deep value, there's no doubt. Really, the main issue from my perspective was always like because I could understand why backs were starting to get devalued a bit, but I would always just try to and continue to try to just temper people with the reason why. Shouldn't be because they don't have value to your football team. They don't have value to your offense. Running the ball helps everyone. It helps your quarterback. It helps your offensive line. It helps your defense. And I've been, you know, there were years there where I was just kind of banging my head against the wall in Chicago, just trying to remind everyone of that as we were spending so much time talking about Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields and why isn't the offense doing this and that. There were limitations to the quarterback position in Chicago. There's no doubt about that. But the offensive play callers weren't aiding those young and developing quarterbacks by saying the offense doesn't have to all be on you. There was too much being tasked with the QB, and now it does seem that we've got one of these play callers in a head coach in Ben Johnson who comes in, and he recognizes what the run game can do for a QB, how it's helped to revitalize the career of Jared Goff, and has done so in a variety of different stops for other QBs throughout the sport too. So yeah, I'm big on the run game, and from my perspective as an old defensive lineman, I know what it feels like to a defense when you have a consistent and imposing ground attack. I was with the Falcons in 2004. We ended up in the NFC Championship game, but there was one game in particular we played in Kansas City against Priest Holmes and that fantastic Chiefs offensive line with Willie Rolfe and a bunch of other guys just rolling us off the football. And we went back to Atlanta like, man, we were demoralized. That was a wake-up call. And, you know, after getting brutalized in that game, then, you know, run defense improved and kind of got our attitudes right a little bit better. But when the team's running the rock on you, everything opens up for their offense. And it does seem to me that Ben Johnson is at least in his mentality, in his approach on offense, cut from a very similar cloth to Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay, all these other guys who really value the ground attack, Kevin O'Connell in that mix now also. And so I think when you have one of those guys and now you see that they're continuing to add pieces, then, yeah, I do feel like that the NFL at large is recognizing what the ground game means to this thing. What I'm really curious about, and we don't know yet, and who knows when we would actually figure it out, is just what was Ben Johnson's perception of DeAndre Swift that brief time they were together in Detroit? And has he seen anything that he feels like has continued to grow in DeAndre Swift over the years since then? Because it seemed to me that as the season went on last year, some of the games that the Bears were able to fight back into in the second half was due in large part to DeAndre Swift getting his game going. And he was kind of the engine that led them back into some of those late game dramatics. And then Caleb, you know, was pulling some Caleb magic there as well. But it kind of went understated how much DeAndre Swift played a role in the way that the Bears offense would get going in the second half of some of these games.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not out on DeAndre Swift. I think he can be a very productive part of a backfield. I just don't think you can rely on him to be a number one back and carry the majority of the load if you're looking to be effective in the running game. If folks are like me and just watching the draft ticker for round four and just every pick just saying, please don't be a running back, please don't be a running back. We're doing all right so far. I think when we came on the air, the last pick that had been made was the running back out of Auburn to the Rams, Jarquez Hunter. Since then, it's gone safety, linebacker, tight end, edge, safety, edge, edge. So no more running backs gone off the board since we came on the air here. And Bears are picking at 132. The Chargers pick at 125 is in. So we are inching closer to whoever the next new Bear is going to be coming up here. We should have it. I would think in the next, just doing draft math, 20, maybe 25 minutes, we should know who the Bears are taking there at 132 in round four. We should hit a quick break. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's Ant Heron. We're going to hear from Chris Emma out at Hallis Hall. We will also hear, I think, Paul Pabst from the Dan Patrick Show is going to be joining us. And when we're not talking to those guys, we want to talk to you at 312-644-6767. Jump on the phone lines. Shoot us a text. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's Anthony Heron on day three of the Scores Draft coverage. And back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
The run here, Cook throws the deep ball down there. Caught, Burden, touchdown!
Open it up with Burden in the second. A player that, you know, obviously there's a lot of value there. He was at the top of our board. Really did a good job following the board and kind of letting it talk to us. It was clear he was the most talented player on the board. And we think he's an electric player, playmaker, highly competitive. And the run after the catch is special, probably best in his class. So when you add that to the group that we have, things get pretty exciting.
Let's get back to more draft coverage with Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Heron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Luther Burden with the touchdown, the Bears' second round pick, and Ryan Poles talking a little bit about the wide receiver out of Missouri. It is Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Heron with you right up until Cubs baseball, Cubs pregame at 2:30 right here on The Score. You want to get in on the show, jump in. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to give us a call, shoot us a text, let us know what you think about the Bears' trades and drafts up until now, day three of the NFL draft. Before the break, and I said maybe 20-25 minutes before the Bears pick.
No.
Things are moving now. There were four picks during that break. I don't know if you play fantasy football, Ant, but I love this point in the draft where people are just reeling off names. You know what I mean? Guys are taking way too long to pick in rounds one and two. You're like, how do you not know who you want at this point? Just make the pick already. Then you get to like 6, 7, 8, and guys are just reeling off names, and that seems to be what's happening in the NFL here. I said before the break, and I'm watching this and watching the ticker, and just every pick I'm like, please don't be a running back, please don't be a running back. One of the picks since we left was a running back, and the one that I had my eyes on in Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, he goes at 126 to the Cleveland Browns. So the running back class continues to get thinner and thinner here as we approach 132, which is where the Bears next pick will be. Jets on the clock right now at 130. Your thoughts on what's transpired here so far, Ant?
Dylan Sampson, a really impressive prospect where he's not a big guy, listed 5'8". He's right around 200 pounds, but he runs with zero fear, and he was the engine for Tennessee's offense that led them to the college football playoff. And one thing I was going to ask your opinion about is just as we were talking through the running back position and DeAndre Swift and his style of play, I would prefer, because I feel like the limitations of DeAndre Swift are so specific, that you have the opportunity to pair him with a back who can complement some of the things that he's not excellent at. But that being said, you know, like as I thought back to yesterday and early in round two, and if the opportunity would have been there for the Bears to draft maybe a Travion Henderson out of Ohio State,
yeah,
I wouldn't have any pause about that. I would have had no issue with it because, all right, you take one open field electrifying running back off, you put a different one on, then, hey, you know, I think you could do worse than that. You can just figure out short yardage if you really need to. And, again, Roschon Johnson was very effective, specifically in short yardage. You just haven't gotten anything else out of him up to this point in his young career. So you can, you know, work to figure out short yardage just with the creativity and the offensive mind that is Ben Johnson. But if you end up at this point where you say maybe the running back that the Bears would at some point presumably draft here, if it's not someone who you think solves the short yardage offense concerns, then as long as it's someone who can step in and make plays and, you know, be a part of putting points on the board, then we shouldn't necessarily have a big issue with it, I don't think. But at least that's where my mind has been in, you know, coming into this thing. All right, who can be a big physical back? Because that's not DeAndre Swift. And then just sort of reminding myself that if you get somebody in here who's going to make plays, all right, DeAndre Swift goes off the field, somebody else comes on, and they're getting 8-10 yards at a crack, they can take a screen pass 60 yards to the house, then all right, we shouldn't really be upset about that either. It's something that even me personally I'm trying to remind myself of.
The Jets made their pick. It's Malachi Moore, the safety out of Alabama. So the Saints on the clock right now, and then it will be the Bears' pick at number 132. And yeah, I'm right there with you, especially at this point, Ant. You're just trying to get somebody to compliment DeAndre Swift. Somebody texted during the first segment, you're not going to get a starter on day three of the draft, SMH. I don't think either of us said we were looking to get a day one starter on day three of the draft. I think we're on the same page here, that we're looking for somebody who can complement DeAndre Swift and sort of share that load. I think obviously the first round backs that went could have been a guy who's a true number one back and comes in and carries the load for you. I think either of those running backs, Henderson or Judkins out of Ohio State, if they fell to the Bears at number two, again, could be a guy who's a number one running back and carries the majority of the load. Once you get to round four and where we are on the board now, yeah, you're looking for somebody who's gonna share the load with him and compliment him. Just kind of cross-referencing a couple different draft experts in terms of what's still left on the board at the running back position right now. We'll see if they go running back with this pick, but as far as running backs go and the best available on the board right now, Mel Kiper has Devin Neal from Kansas and DJ Giddens as the top two running backs left on the board. So I go over to Dane Brugler's The Beast draft guide and see what he has to say about these two guys. And he has both of them with third/fourth round grades. And I was saying all night last night for folks who were concerned about the running back position and what they were going to do there. By the way, the Bears are on the clock right now. The Saints go with Quincy Riley, the cornerback out of Louisville. A third, fourth round grade on a running back in this year's draft, maybe equals a second or a third round draft grade in a normal NFL draft based on how deep this running back class is. So I think you are getting pretty good quality if you get a running back here, just not maybe starter quality or feature back quality, but certainly I think you can get a guy who, as we've been talking about, complements DeAndre Swift and shares the load with him back there.
And so far, our conversation has obviously early in the show been very running back centric.
Sure.
For good reason.
Yes.
Because that's the main spot that it feels like the Bears should prioritize, trying to come out of these day three draft picks and bolster that room. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's where the Bears are going to go, and it doesn't mean that that's the value they see in this particular slot in the draft with them being on the clock right now at 132. So if there's a position beyond running back, if the Bears go somewhere else and say, you know what, there's a different guy that I just think value-wise or someone who can really come in and actually have a chance to contribute, this other position just makes a lot of sense for this particular player. Is there a position that stands out to you where if it's not running back, you feel comfortable with them going?
Oh, the pick is in, and I was listening yesterday when you were on with Grody, and you were the spoiler on the show. You had all the picks before they were officially announced. Feel free to spoil right here, right now, and since we're not carrying the pick live at the podium, feel free. If you know who it is, feel free to let us know. But the pick is in for the Bears at number 132. We're waiting for the official announcement. Unless Anthony Heron has it, like he did all last night, we're waiting for the official announcement of what the Bears do do here at 132. Again, a couple of the top available or best available players on the board at the running back position. I just mentioned Devin Neal and DJ Giddens. Overall, the best players available on the board, according to Mel Kiper, is Shedeur Sanders is still there. I don't think the Bears are interested, but Shedeur Sanders is still there. And Anthony, I want to talk to you about what's going on with Shedeur Sanders at some point before we get out of here at 2:30. But going down and just looking at need for the Bears and what's still left at best available, I'm looking at Braden Swanson, the edge rusher from LSU. Mel Kiper has him as the fourth best available player right now. If you're looking still to add some offensive line depth, a couple of guards in Marcus Imbo from Purdue there and Miles Frazier from LSU, these are all guys that I think the Bears could use. These are positions of need, if not somebody to come in and compete on day one, at the very least somebody who can come in and provide you some depth at one of these positions.
And there are a number of starters all throughout the Bears who were day three draft picks, and so, you know, I'm not here to tell anybody that the Bears definitively are going to get a starter on today, but you certainly shouldn't rule it out. There's starters all throughout the National Football League that come at this point.
I did not see this coming, Anthony. Are you ready for this? The Bears with the fourth round pick, number 132. I don't know if I'm going to get this guy's name right. I'm just going to tell you that off the top.
I could say it for you.
Oh, okay. You want to announce it? You go ahead and announce it instead of me looking like a fool. Go right ahead.
Well, I did mess up Ozzie's last name last night, where I didn't exactly know how to announce the Bears draft pick as of yesterday. But the Bears have made their selection at number 132. A linebacker I've watched a lot, whose tangibles and intangibles are really impressive. I cover the Big Ten so extensively on television
and
radio. Maryland being in the Big Ten with the 132nd pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears selected Maryland linebacker Ruben Hippolyte. And he's a guy that, because Maryland's defense had to grow a lot during Mike Locksley's time there in College Park, he was really a key cog for them over the last couple of seasons. As much as Mike Locksley has been known for being this guy with high-flying offenses, even going back to the time that he was an offensive coordinator for the Illini years ago, but while his offense has gotten the headlines, his best teams in recent years at Maryland have been exceptional on defense. And Ruben Hippolyte, as their off-ball linebacker, and this isn't a pass rusher. This is a true off-ball linebacker who plays back in the box, wore the green dot for the Maryland Terrapins, and was their leader of leaders, their alpha on defense. Just was all about business. Good athlete, you know, a scheme that really called for him to operate both as a run defender and in pass coverage. And for a Maryland football team that wasn't in, you know, the upper crust of college football, of the Big Ten Conference, and he was a big building block for them, just kind of in growing things over the years, and was really productive throughout his career on a Maryland defense that rotated a lot of bodies through. So here in the fourth round, you certainly some folks could have expected Ruben Hippolyte to go even earlier than this, but I think it's good value for a pick that should come in and bolster the linebacker room.
You got a comp for us in terms of a guy he maybe reminds you of at the linebacker position?
Good question. I would say he's not as big and physical. He's not quite as physical yet as T.J. Edwards.
Okay.
I could see him growing into that. And I think, honestly, his demeanor, the physicality he plays with, and his production in a lot of ways on Maryland's defense, it was kind of understated production. So I would say, a young T.J. Edwards, I think, would be actually a pretty good comp for what I would see Ruben Hippolyte being.
And I'm not going to lie to you, I was going to get the name wrong if I attempted to pronounce it before you. I don't know why. I thought it was Hippolyte. I was going to put the long E on the end. I thought it was Hippolyte.
Right.
So it's Ruben Hippolyte, the linebacker out of Maryland to the Bears at number.
That's basically what I did with Ozzie Trapillo. Like last night, I saw the L-O on the end. I was like, well, I guess we'll
Trapillo.
Just go with it.
Yeah,
Ozzie Trapillo. Let's try it. Let's see if it sticks. He should change his name to that pronunciation. Actually.
Chris Ebba, who is going to join us a little later, I heard him on with you guys. I think he called him Zapillo. And then he came out with me and called him Zapillo again. But let's give Emma a break. He's hustling out there out at Hallis Hall. And we will hear from Chris Emma at some point throughout today's show. We're kind of working around the Bears and and all the moving parts out there at Halas Hall. But it's Rami Makhlouf. It's Anthony Heron. We're with you until 2:30, right up until Cubs baseball. We do want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. You want to talk about what the Bears did today with that pick number 132. You want to talk about what they've done over all 3 days of the draft to this point. We're here for you. 312-644-6767. And we'll start looking ahead as well to the Bears' next pick in the 10th round. We're not that far from the Bears' next pick in the 10th round, and things are moving fast, so we should have that for you here coming up. I'm not even going to predict how long it's going to take, Ant, because I was so far off last time with how fast this thing is moving. I'm just going to say soon. We'll know who the Bears are taking in the 5th round soon. Between now and then, let's hear from you at 312-644-6767. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's Ant Heron, and we're back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the 132nd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Ruben Hippolyte II, linebacker, Maryland.
Let's get back to more draft coverage with Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Heron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
There you heard the Bears' 4th-round pick after trading again with the Buffalo Bills. No, this is not a replay of last night. If you're just tuning in, they trade 109 to the Bills for picks 132 and 169, one in the 4th and one in the 5th. And with that pick at 132, they go with Ruben Hippolyte, the linebacker out of Maryland, to a chorus of boos from Packers fans out there in Green Bay. I don't know about you, Han, but I'm really sick of these people. I'm really tired of these Green Bay people after watching the draft for 3 days. They just showed somebody on the TV, on NFL Network's coverage, some person making a sculpture out of cheese. What are we even doing here, Ant? You know what? Eat a vegetable up there in Green Bay. How about that? How about eat a vegetable up there in Green Bay?
But Rami Makhlouf, he's out on cheese curds. I actually
love cheese curds, and I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. They're tasty. Right.
And people cheese sticks.
Love a mozzarella stick. Oh, buddy, love a mozzarella stick. Oh man, yeah. Right.
Cheese and crackers. Rami Makhlouf out on cheese and crackers.
No, anything with cheese. I can't.
All right, I do
share that in common with the people of Green Bay.
These stupid idiots and their cheese, but they got about the cheese.
But it's good cheese. It's good cheese. If you're ever on your way up there, stop by the Mars Cheese Castle, you guys, right over the board. It's actually a castle just full of cheese, and you can have a little wine. Cheese. You can grab a little lunch. It's not bad. They did not pay me for that advertisement. Since the Bears went with Hippolyte at 132, a wide receiver in Jalen Royals, edge rusher in Q Robinson, and defensive tackle in Tonka. That's a great football name. Tonka Hemingway off the board to the Chiefs, the Broncos. And that guy's literally named after a truck, and he plays defensive tackle. And that's what you want in the NFL. I want to read you this text. It's a long one, and I usually don't read the long one. Self-editing is very valuable out there, folks, for those of you texting The Score. But I want to read this one because I feel like it's the sentiment of, I don't want to say a lot, maybe half the Bears fans out there as they're watching the way that they conduct this trade. And that's from the 847, and I'm even editing it. That's how long this thing is. He said, my bottom line is, if it was up to me, my goal for this year's draft would have been fairly simple. Two top-notch immediate starters in this draft, one edge and one left tackle. Poles had a high first-round pick and two high second-round picks as draft capital to make this happen. Those three picks plus plus later picks combined should have allowed him to get these two starters in any number of ways. If there's one issue I've heard Bears fans taking with the way that this draft has gone is they're adding depth at positions where they already have guys rather than filling holes, especially with the first two picks of Colston Loveland and Luther Burden the third. I don't think a lot of people were looking at tight end or wide receiver as major positions of need here. And I personally, I like those moves, not necessarily what I had my eyes on or what I thought they might do with those picks, but I like those moves. And a big part of the reason that I like those moves or I'm going to back those moves is they come off to me as Ben Johnson moves. I don't know if I'd call this whole draft the Ben Johnson draft, but those first two picks come off to me as Ben Johnson moves with Colston Loveland and the Sam Laporta comps and then Luther Burden. And I don't want to say Equanimeous St. Brown comps, but excuse me, the other St. Brown. I'm on Ron St. Brown. Sorry about that. I don't want to say it's...
The one
it's,
who's better at receiving the yes. football than blocking for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard a lot of direct comps to him, but getting that slot receiver for Ben Johnson's offense. That was the guy I wanted to be the head coach of the Bears in Ben Johnson. I think that's the guy most people want to be the head coach of the Bears. And so if that's the case, I think we do have to put a little blind faith in this guy in that he knows what he wants, he knows what's going to work in his system, and they went out and got it, and I'm okay with that, Ant.
These are players to me, the at least the first two picks, these are guys who should come in and definitively contribute. You know, if we assume health for Colston Loveland, assume health for Luther Burden, they're guys with a skill set that comes in and immediately aids the Bears. Colston Loveland, when they go on 12 personnel, very likely will start for the Bears this season. Luther Burden, when they're in three wide receiver sets, which the majority of the National Football League spends right. a lot of time, and the Ben Johnson offense will spend a lot of time in three receiver sets, Luther Burden should play a lot of snaps for the Bears this season. So is either position one where you say it was a gaping hole for the Bears because of where they're at with a player or players, plural? No, I wouldn't say a gaping hole. But you know, I was talking to you a bit earlier about Cole Kmet and just, you know, sort of how I would try to describe where the Bears offense was at as it related to Cole Kmet. You know, yes, the year before he earned a significant contract based largely off of the production he had the previous season, and you saw the emergence that was coming. But even that year, Cole Kmet was a guy who you had to scheme open. Cole Kmet has, up to this point in his career, never been a guy that you just say, go win that one-on-one matchup and separate from a defender, and we know we'll just be able to get the ball to you because you've just been, you know, so elusive and sudden and excellent in the route you ran that you're just going to get yourself open. But Cole Kmet has made a lot of big plays in his career, like many tight ends do when they're schemed open. He's more traditional in that sense in his movement ability. Colston Loveland gives him something different. He gives him more of that, of course, the direct Detroit comp. He gives him more of that Sam Laporta level skill. And for him to be able to play that role in this Bears offense, there should be a lot of big plays that come from that. And Luther Burden, as what we would presume will be the number three receiver, the slot receiver. You know, I'm definitely not going to predict Keenan Allen level success for him throughout his career, but those opportunities will now be there for Luther Burden in the same way that we saw where Caleb Williams began just getting more and more comfortable throughout the season, fitting the football in the middle of the field, throwing it up the rails, and on third and medium, finding Keenan Allen, both on in-cutting routes, out-cutting routes, back shoulder types of routes, and snatching it off his back hip. Luther Burden will very likely be playing that role for the Bears this season. So those first two picks are guys who should contribute to the Bears at a starter caliber level right away. They'll get those types of reps.
I also think just the way the board fell to them at both of those picks, I don't want to say dictated, but influenced the way that they picked. Because if you were looking to get an offensive tackle there at number 10, three of them went off the board. I don't think you're taking the fourth best offensive tackle with the 10th pick in a draft and probably a guy who you don't know will be a day one starter or an upgrade over what you have at tackle currently. And then if you were looking to get a running back back there in round two, both the Ohio State guys go off the board there. And I know there were some other running backs who still on some draft boards had grades that you could have justified it with that second round pick. But I mean, when you look at the board there and what was left when they picked at number two, Luther Burden was to me, clearly the best player available, a guy with a first-round grade, the third best wide receiver in this draft class, according to Dan Brugler and his The Beast draft guide. So I think the way that the board fell influenced them as much as anything, which is going to happen in an NFL draft, but this thing might have looked a lot different if one of those top three tackles is still on the board at 10, or one of those two Ohio State running backs is still available at 39. I think this thing could look a lot different, Ant.
And if, to me, even though the top two true left tackles, because, you know, I do think Armand Membu, he's a player that he may end up being a perennial Pro Bowl in his career as a right tackle, but the projection to, you know, move him over to left for the position the Bears are in, it felt like it wasn't a necessary projection for the Bears to make, frankly, just because of how I and a number of other people felt about other tackles who were going to go in the top 10 and Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks. And Kelvin Banks coming off the board at the 9th pick, right before the Bears. And I do wonder how that ended up impacting their draft, you know, their draft hopes, their draft possibilities. Would Colston Loveland have still been the pick? Because they ran the pick in. As soon as Kelvin Banks came off the board, it was like the pick was in seconds later for the Bears. So it seemed that they were at least probably prepared to take either guy. I do wonder if Banks wouldn't have gone to the Saints and he was still there at the 10th pick, would they have tried to solidify left tackle? And then Colston Loveland just ends up going later in the first round.
That's Anthony Heron. I'm Rami Makhlouf. 312-644-6767. We're going to get right to the calls after a short break here. It's day three of the Scores draft coverage. If you're on hold and I see you guys there, phone lines are full. Text line is filling up. Please hang right there. Hang with us. We're going to get right to those phone calls right after a break right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.